living life with excellence, performing the task at hand with excellence. So here Peter is addressing the church, the early church, in first of his second of his two letters. And he addresses something that we need to really keep in mind today and apply to our own lives. He says, "The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and sober mind, so that you may pray." And said, "Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling." Some of you could underline that maybe. "Each of you should use what gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen." Let's pray together. Father God, today this message hits home to all of us. And the various jobs and educational pursuits that we may have, God, oftentimes fatigue takes over our body, our minds get sidetracked. Sometimes, Lord, there are things that happen in our life that we allow to consume our attention, and Lord, we do not do the very best that we can in the place that you've placed us. Oh God, we need to hear this. Lord, I pray today that as we consume your word, God, that you begin to deal with each of us very down deep into our very core of our being, Lord, that we are called to be your children. And as your children, we're living in this world, and we're shining your light to this world. Some of us, God, have hidden under a basket. And some of us, God, have been secret Christians out in the world, and lost people can't tell whether we're saved or not. And Father, that is not the way that you would have it. Lead us, guide us, and direct us today, Holy Spirit. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. So Peter talks to believers in the early church. He gives them encouragement for proper living as a follower of Christ. And these believers, like us, they were living in a society that did not follow godly principles. They were out doing whatever out in the world, and Christians called by Christ were living in this world. They were empowered by the Holy Spirit to live in the world, but many of them have kind of pushed the Holy Spirit aside. You know, oftentimes those plates that we have at the lunchroom, you know, and they're all kind of sectioned off. That's to keep the gravy from going into the peaches or whatever else. Sometimes we do our lives like that. You know, well, we do church on Sunday morning, and we've got that boxed in. We have family time, we have baseball, we have soccer, we have football, we have our quiet time. We have everything sectioned off, and we often section God into one place. Sometimes he takes the small place where the milk carton goes, rather than having enough influence over our life. See, God wants to be the gravy that goes in everything. He wants to be everything. He wants to be in our peaches. He wants to be in our fruit salad. He wants to be everywhere in our life. Everything that you do and everything that I do as Christians should have godly influence in it. Everything that we do. So several questions I want us to answer. Three questions this morning, basically. The first question is, what should we do with excellence? The second question is, why should we pursue excellence? And the third question is, how do we pursue excellence? So we get the what, why, and how this morning. The first question is, what should we do with excellence? See, the pursuit of excellence is a value which should govern every aspect of a Christian's life. Every aspect of our life should be governed by the principle of excellence. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others faithfully, administering God's grace to them in various forms. So what should we do with excellence? We're to use the very gifts that God has given us, that he has given us to serve other people. Use these gifts. It may be spiritual gifts. It may be just natural gifts. It may be gifts that we acquire because we have training in some form or some fashion. Some things don't come just naturally, but sometimes we can be trained in those areas. But they are all gifts that God has allowed us to have for his purpose and for his reason. We see in verse 11, the first part, it says, anyone that speaks, Peter mentions these two gifts. He says, if anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of Christ. In the latter part of verse 11, he says, if anyone serves, he should do it with the strength that God provides. So Peter refers to spiritual and natural gifts in this passage. And all believers have received a spiritual gift. When you came to Christ Jesus, you professed him as your Lord and Savior. You received Jesus as your Savior. Holy Spirit entered your life. He gave you a spiritual gift of some form, some fashion. It may be speaking, it may be singing, it may be learning an instrument, it may be teaching, it may be serving others, it may be in missions, wherever God has gifted you in some form, some fashion, and it's a spiritual gift to be used for his glory, to serve God. So how do we serve God? We serve God by serving others. When you serve other people, in the name of Jesus, you're serving God. See, all believers receive spiritual gifts to use throughout their lives to magnify God and serve other people. These other people are to be ministered to in the church and to be evangelized through missions on the outside of the church. So there are people, God's people, who are to be ministered to here in the church, but there are also people who need to be evangelized who are lost out in our community, out into the world. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 11 from New Living Translation says, a spiritual gift is given to each one of us so we can help each other. So what are some of these gifts? Listen to this list of gifts. He says, the ability to give wise advice. Not to be a wise guy, but to give wise advice. Give a message of special knowledge. One of great faith. The gift of healing, the power to perform miracles, the ability to prophesy, or today that's preaching, the ability to discern a message from the Spirit of God or from another spirit, ability to speak in unknown languages. Another's given the ability to interpret what is being said. Verse 28, some are given as apostles, prophets, or these are preachers, teachers, miracle workers, gift of healing. These can help those who can help others, and leadership and unknown languages. And you can earnestly desire, he said, you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. Not all of us are given all the same gifts. Some can teach, some can preach, some can sing, some do speak in different languages, some do interpret those languages. Some are helps. Listen, some of the greatest are the people who work behind the scenes that you never hear about, never see, and they keep things functioning. They keep things rolling. For those of us who do, the people that you do see, can be more effective. And there are other people behind the scenes. Maybe you're a behind the scenes person. Maybe God has not gifted you to get in front of others, but boy, he has gifted you behind the scenes, and boy, you keep things going just like this. You don't get the pat on the back, and you don't get a lot of recognition here on earth, but Lord, the Lord sees everything that you do. Do it with excellence. Whatever gifts that you use them to the best of your ability to serve people. Along with spiritual gifts, there are also natural gifts. Think about it, artists and mechanics and musicians and decorators and cooks and singers and athletes and hunters and fishermen. There are people who use these talents, these gifts that they have that are natural. They over years, they've accumulated this and they've become very good at it. They use this to minister to other people. The list could go on. Some people seem to have a knack for so many things in athletics. Think about this. I'm not the best athlete at all. Can you tell? It wasn't my area. Give me something in agriculture. Give me something in spiritual, in Bible, and that's more me. There's some guys and ladies who are just natural athletes. Think about Tim Tebow. He said this. He said, football gave him the platform or the opportunity to share Jesus with many people, and boy, did it. Millions of people, when they showed him, he had his eye makeup here, this little line. He had John 3:16 penciled into both of these eyes. Is millions and millions of people Googled what John 3:16 was. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. So simple. Using his platform. So many people in other ways use their platform, whatever God has gifted them in. Some have no advancement in opportunities in technology. Some can type. Not me. Mechanics. They repair people. I remember there were, my mom's a single mom, raising five kids, driving junky hoopties from Pine Prairie to Ville Platte to work for 23 years. But there were some godly men around our area in Upper Pine Prairie that would come keep those old hoopties running, using their gifts for the glory of God, serving someone else, honoring God with. What about you? What has God gifted you with? Whatever you do, do it with excellence. Do not settle for just getting the job done. God is not honored when we simply fill a position or draw a check. Listen, God wants us to be faithful to our calling by striving to improve and to increase our effectiveness and our efficiency in our work and education. God always wants us to improve. We never arrive. I love it when people up in their 50s and 60s and 70s are going or taking classes in something. Why? Because they want to learn something new or they just want to improve in where they're at. They haven't given up. They want better. Some of us think we've arrived. Hey, you're still breathing. You're not there yet. Don't settle for just getting a job done. It doesn't matter where God placed you. Be the best there. Strive for excellence. Vince Lombardi said the quality of a person's life is in direct proportion to their commitment to excellence, regardless of their chosen field of endeavor. We're to strive for excellence in everything, personal, relational, spiritual. That's what we should do with excellence. The second question comes down to this. Why should we pursue excellence? So we know the what, we should do it all with excellence. Wherever God has entrusted to our care, do it to the best of our ability. Not perfection, we won't reach perfection, but we should give it all. Why should we do this? Christians should pursue excellence because Jesus deserves nothing less than our very best. Because Jesus deserves nothing less than our very best. Why? Because he gave us his very best. He gave us His very best. We see 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, the middle part of verse 11. Do it with all your strength and with all your energy and the energy that God supplies. And then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to Him forever and ever. Amen. So why should we strive for excellence in all of our work and all of our school and all our church and ministry and our marriage and our parenting and our personal lives so that we can give God glory? It's really that simple. When we're lagging, we're not trying anymore, we get apathetic, we get lazy, we're not giving God glory with what He's entrusted to our care in this life. We're not giving God glory. We're starting to complain. We're starting to wish we had what someone else had. We get jealous of others because we are not finding the joy that God has entrusted to our care in the life that He's given to us to fulfill our purpose and to live with excellence. Everything we do is a reflection of Christ. Everything. So when we strive to do our best, then God is honored. When we settle for status quo or just working for a paycheck, God is dishonored in us. Did you ever think why God would be so interested in what we do at work or at school? Because we're His ambassadors to the world, the people who are lost around us. Maybe drifting out and further away. And we're the ones that God has placed in their pathway to reflect Christ to them and to be an ambassador for Christ. And if they see our sour, apathetic, bitter attitude, what do they think about Jesus? Well, if that's all Jesus did for them, well, I'm just as good as they are. I'm no better off than they are. With our sourness, we're ambassadors for Christ. God chose us to work, and He chose to work through us. Imperfect as we are, He chose to work through us to serve the world with His love. And what people see in us and our attitude and our actions will tell them if our God and our faith is worth their time and their interest. What people see in us, we'll let them know whether this Jesus guy is worth it or not. Ted Inkston said it this way. He tells a story in his book, The Pursuit of Excellence. The story is about a pastor who moves to a small community. He moves on to a farm, and the farm is dilapidated. He buys it. And over the next few months, he begins to work on it. And man, it's really looking nice. It's coming together. And one of the neighbors comes over to him, he says, and tells the pastor, he says, "Wow," he says, "you and God are really doing a great job on this place." Pastor thought for a minute and he responded. He said, "Well," he said, "I'm glad you put it that way." He said, "but you should have seen it when God had it to Himself." Work for excellence. Strive for excellence. See, God has chosen to work through people, even though we are flawed, prone to make mistakes, and suffer from imperfection. God's greatest glory is when in His creation and when His people worship and honor Him in all that we do. Our lives are to be instruments of worship. What does it say about us if we come here and we lift our hands when we praise and the music and we listen to a message, but we go back to work Monday, our attitude is just sour. And we're bitter all week. And the people that we meet, we grumble. And listen, what kind of ambassador are we out there? Because out there is very important. Jesus said, "Go make disciples of all men." And if we're reflecting an ugly attitude because we are not finding God's glory in what we do, Oh, my goodness. How many people have we pushed away from Christ rather than pulling toward Him? But, Brother Kevin, you just don't know how miserable I am at that job. Then get another one. Nobody's making you stay there. Go find another job. But you better be sure that you're praying it through before you leave. That's where God wants you to do. It's okay to quit a job if God has somewhere else out there for you. Don't make it all about you. Make it about what God wants to do through you. And maybe you took that job against God's will, and He's showing you, you need to quit. So make sure He has where He wants you to be, to use your gifts, your talents, to bring Him glory. Listen. Our lives are to be instruments of worship. Each aspect of our daily journey with God is to be a continuous worship. Listen, I'm not talking about whistle while you work like the seven dwarves. But I'm talking about being purposeful, focused, you know, a focused desire to give God glory in everything that you do. Where each day we esteem God as most excellent and our lives are reflective of worship. We worship Him with our lives. As Him being most worthy, that we love Him as our most costly treasure, and that we obey Him as our Creator, our Redeemer, our King, and our friend. We strive for excellence in all that we do to bring God glory. It's really that simple. Colin Powell said it this way. He says, if you're going to achieve excellence in big things, you develop the habit in little things, in little matters. Excellence is not an exception, it is prevailing attitude. So it really comes, excellence is just not what we do with our hands. It really comes from here. Right. It really comes from inside of us. Is that we have this attitude that if I'm sweeping the floor, if I'm cleaning the toilets, whether I'm unlocking the doors, I'm setting the heater, whatever I do, I'm standing before a class, that excellence comes from inside of me because I'm excited that God has placed me in this place to bring Him honor and glory. Although people do not recognize me, people do not give me a pat on the back, I don't need it because God is getting the glory in what I do. That's the attitude that we have. But so many of us work for a pat on the back. So often we want somebody to recognize what we do. We want someone else to glorify us rather than us glorifying God. Let me repeat that. So often in a job we want others to glorify us. We want the recognition when we should be giving God the recognition. Did that hurt? Because we've all been guilty of that. It's not one person, it's all of us. We like affirmation. We like the pat on the back. We like the attaboys. But do you work for that pat on the back, or do you work to give God glory with your life? See, because there comes a time when the attaboys will quit. You go to a job, you work real hard. You know what? At first, it's real impressive to others, but that will stop. Because people get used to you doing a great job, and they will not give you the pat on the back anymore. They won't give you the attaboys. They won't give you the recognition that you so think you deserve. If your attitude is all about you. But when your attitude comes about God, see, it all comes from inside. When your attitude is to give God the glory, it doesn't matter if your name is ever mentioned or not. Oh, that hurts our pride, doesn't it? Remember, pride is what got Satan kicked out of heaven. First question is, what should we do with excellence? Everything. Second question is, why should we pursue excellence? To glorify God. Here's your third question, and I'm closing. Third question is this: how do we continuously pursue excellence? How do we continuously pursue excellence? So Monday went real good. What about Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday? And sometimes all we do is go to work to live for Friday. How do we pursue excellence? Christians can only maintain an attitude of excellence through the ever-abiding power of God. The ever-abiding power of God. In other words, we need to be spirit-filled daily, Christians. Daily. I made a comment on Facebook and put a post up this morning. You know why this church is not filled right now? Because there are a lot of Christians who are not spirit-filled. When you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you know what? You want to be at worship. This is God you're worshiping with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Why wouldn't you want to be with them? Because you're not filled. And church really doesn't matter. It's just a religious thing. Every sanctuary, every house of worship, praising God's name through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit should be filled. That message was free. How can we continuously pursue excellence? Christians only maintain that attitude of excellence through the ever-abiding power of God. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11 says, if anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides. We don't want to look over that. So it's not about you. It's not about your energy. It's not about your strength. It's the strength that God provides. When you rely on God, it's amazing how it changes your mindset. He changes your attitude of what you're doing there and why you're there. You go from looking for a paycheck, you go to looking for opportunities. See, everything, God may place you there for 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, whatever. It's all a step where He's bringing you. And while you're on the journey, there are people He brings into your pathway so that you can share the love of Christ with. Those people need Jesus. They may just need prayer. But they're in your circle. See, only by God's power and God's guidance can we develop an attitude of excellence. See, in our human wisdom and our effort, we would quickly settle for just getting by. We will. We would just settle for just getting by. Very quickly. What areas in your life do you need God to empower you to strive for excellence? Rick Pitino said it this way: excellence is the unlimited ability to improve the quality of what you have to offer. Are you struggling in your personal life? Are you struggling in your marriage, in your job, in school or ministry to pursue excellence? Are you really struggling? You need the power of God in your life. Christian, He's giving you the Holy Spirit. Why would you put Him on the shelf? Why would you push Him into the back? Let the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you. Have you simply gotten comfortable with mediocre work or mediocre grades? Oh, as a former educator, it broke my heart when students would come in and settle for C's and D's just to get by when they could be making A's and B's. Just doing their best. We call it senioritis. It's really laziness. As you pursue excellence, you can't get deterred by mistakes or uncaring attitude of others. Listen, as we strive for excellence in this world, there'll be a lot of people who don't care. And there are people who have bitter attitudes out there. You ever work in an environment around negative people? Isn't it how fast that rubs off on you? And sometimes you just get like, oh, goodness, they're here again. Why, Lord? I got to admit, there are some church folks over the 15 years I've been here I just soon avoid. And I'm their pastor. Because their spirit is just bitter. And I'm like, oh, goodness. Because I'm human, too. And I need an extra dose of Holy Spirit to deal with them. And sometimes, Lord, I just need to walk away. You do, too. Sometimes you just need to walk away. They come in to get coffee with you, and all they want to do is complain, and it's quenching the spirit, your spirit. You know what? You usually walk away. It's like, great to see you today. Are you pursuing excellence? We can't get tied up in the attitudes of others. See, a commitment to excellence may lead us to focus too heavily on the results of the effect of the efforts. See, in our success-oriented society, so often we become trapped in this idea that unless we are successful, we are doing something wrong. God doesn't concern about success. God is concerned about faithfulness. Let me repeat that. Society would tell you, you need to be successful. God tells you, you need to be faithful. You need to be faithful. Because when you're faithful to God, it's amazing the transformation that He does in everything else that you do. Soon after Mother Teresa received the Nobel Peace Prize for her work in Calcutta, India, she was asked by a reporter how she could dedicate herself to her work when it was obvious that she was not going to eliminate hunger, disease, or poverty from the population of India. Get her reply. Her reply was simple yet profound. She said this: God has not called us to success, but to faithfulness. How do we strive for excellence? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 7 says, work with enthusiasm as though you were working for the Lord rather than people. Brother Kevin, how do I work for excellence when I'm overwhelmed and stressed and other people around me are just, you know, they're settling for just getting by and I find I have to go back and do their work too? Lee Wise gives us five pillars of excellence. Five pillars of excellence in personal growth. The first one is this: concentration. The power of focus. Stay focused on what's most important, those important issues in the task of life daily. The second one is this: control. It's the power of self-discipline. This is exercising daily control over your emotions and energies and talents for the purpose of maximizing involvement and achievement in life. In other words, you have to control you. And you can only control you by the Holy Spirit controlling you. Fruit of the Spirit, self-control. Third thing is completion. It's the power to follow through. This is being persistent and enduring to finish things. I struggle with that. Completing a job. The fourth thing is compassion. It's the power of caring. You're caring and loving, and this attitude frames how you are living today. Are you compassionate toward others who God has placed in your care to serve? And the last one is Christ. He is the power of true life in action. You're looking to Christ as your example of excellence. He cared for people. He concentrated on the matters at hand. He controlled his life, and he completed all the things that God had called him to do. Are you striving for excellence in the things that God has called you to do? He equipped you to serve him. He equipped you in the ministry. Wherever he has placed you, that is your ministry. It may be a ministry that you're just passing through, because there's something else waiting, and as God is training you and equipping you for that great thing, but while you're there, you have a task to do. Do it with excellence. Quit complaining. Quit bellyaching. quit going to work or going to school with that sour attitude, because God is not being glorified in bitterness. God is glorified when you have a change of heart and a change of mind, saying, God has put me here for a particular reason. I don't really necessarily like the job I'm doing. I don't feel this. I'm overqualified. There's something else I'd rather be doing. But while I'm here, I'm being trained for something, but I'm also sharing the love and the light of Christ with others. Wherever you are, you may be sitting in a classroom, sitting in a hospital. You may be even in retirement, and you're bitter being retired. I don't know why, because the fish are biting. Wherever God has placed you, God has called you for a particular purpose to be there. Says, God has our lives designed, and He doesn't make mistakes. Are you striving for excellence in all that you do? Let's pray together. Father God, today we thank you so much for your great love. God, we have to admit today that oftentimes our attitude gets bitter. People say things to us that are not nice. People criticize our work when we've done our very best. God, sometimes we just don't like our job. We just feel that you want us to do something else, but you have us there for right now. Let us learn. God, I pray for every Christian, every believer in here today, that you fill them with your Holy Spirit, God. Fresh and anew today. God, when they walk out of here, that they look toward their week, not with this attitude of fear, not with an attitude of bitterness, not with an attitude of resentment, but with an attitude of, God, I am ready for whoever and whatever you send my way as I embrace it with you, God. Lord, all of us, we're on the same path, but sometimes different areas. Lord, work in our life to build us up and change our mind. Do a soul work in us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.